Welcome to episode 362 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, and George. George recently visited Cancun for a personal vacation. What is a vacation? And he stayed at Unico 2087 in Riviera Maya. Tonight, we'll discuss the pros and cons of the resort and what it's like to currently travel to Mexico. So let's get started. All right. So this is one of my favorite resorts. I'm excited you got to stay there. This is your first time there, right?
Yeah. Have you been there before?
I have been there before. I've toured.
Oh, okay.
And then I also stayed there for a couple of nights with Chris, but it was a few years ago. And
okay.
A few things have changed. So
yes.
I am definitely curious to hear that. I will keep my mouth shut with my opinion, and we'll hear what you have to say from the famous last words right there.
Yep.
So let's talk about the travel that we always want to ask about this now, because, you know, pre, post, during COVID, it changes daily. So tell us about your experience getting to Unico.
So the airports. So let's back phrase. I actually traveled once in January during, I guess you could say, kind of the height of COVID, but very few people were traveling. And it really wasn't much different other than the planes were awful. The airports were full. TSA lines were crazy. So it was like pre-COVID wearing a mask, really, is what it came down to. Other than that, there really wasn't almost any differences that I could tell. The airport still operated all the same. So other than wearing a mask, it was business as usual.
And Mexico does not require any sort of testing to go or anything like that, correct?
They do not. Nope, not a thing. They have temperature checkpoints set up throughout the airport as you walk through, but they don't stop you. It's all automated. I didn't see anybody getting stopped, and no, it was really smooth, just like usual.
All right.
But you still have to fill out the immigration forms.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to finish the immigration forms. I did mine all online and printed them all out ahead of time. So it was super easy, breezing right through customs there.
And pro tip, that is definitely the way to do it, because I've forgotten two out of the last four times I've gone, I get on the plane and all they have is Spanish, and I speak zero Spanish.
Yeah. And the other thing was, at least on Southwest, they're not giving out pens.
Oh,
so if
yeah.
you didn't happen to have a pen handy, you weren't filling it out.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to lend you their pen.
No.
All right. So from the flying standpoint, pretty much business as usual. So what's it like preparing to go to Unico specifically?
So Unico was the first resort that I've been to where you could do so much ahead of time. They have a pre-arrival concierge. So you have two options. You can do a bunch of it on the app, or I actually did most of it on their website. And you can pick your in-room mixology. You can select your pillows. You can customize your mini bar. You can make all your dining reservations. They also have a separate group called Vacation Makers that will pre-book all your spa and excursions ahead of time. So this was the first resort I've been to where every restaurant required a reservation. They don't have a buffet for dinner. So if you didn't have a reservation, you were kind of scrambling to find a place to eat. So we made all of our reservations for all six nights before we even got there. So it was super easy.
Yeah. And by the way, they did have a buffet before, but that's a COVID change.
I have a question about that pre-arrival. Do all room core categories get the chance to do all of that? Or is it just do they all get the concierge?
They do. It's all adult only. I guess you would say it's all club level, because every room category has the same amenities. So there's nobody really treated different unless you're in the Legendary Club, which is their vacation / timeshare club across all the resorts in their brand.
And there are a couple of suites that have slightly elevated service, but it's mostly the size of the suite that's the benefit.
It was huge. Yeah. I saw some videos of it. It was enormous.
Yeah, it's big. In this resort, the entry level room is a swim up. Like, that is kind of unusual. You know, from there it goes to Ocean View and Ocean Front.
And it's funny that you say that, because there was nobody in the swim ups.
Really?
There were probably 10 rooms in each block that had swim ups. And we saw one other couple in the swim up a couple of times. The rest of the whole week, it was just my my room, and then my two adult daughters had a room that were a couple of down from us. And we were the only ones there, because why spend more for a room that doesn't have a swim up if you're going to go to the main pool anyway? So I think a lot of people spend less money, book the swim up, and then just don't use it, which is a little strange. I still can't get why they have swim ups, which are one of their least number category style rooms, are the cheapest base room.
Yeah. Well, and we stayed at a swim. Did you stay in a swim up? Was that your room?
Yes. Type? Yep. For me personally, I'll never go to a resort that doesn't have swim ups. That's my thing.
Yeah. And were they still doing bar service to the swim up? Like if you were in the swim up, would they bring you drinks?
That was part of the problem, is they had servers that would walk around the pools, but they didn't have anybody walking around the perimeter for all the swim ups. Wow. So about the third day after we got tired of having to dry off and go through the room and down the hallway to the bars, we saw one server up in the legendary area looking a little bored, and I waved my cup at him and he came down, and then give him a nice tip, and he kept coming back for the next few days. So yeah, I thought that was interesting that they don't have bar servers walking around to service the swim ups. They're not hard to get to. They're right up against the sidewalk. I don't know why they don't do it, but
staff cuts. That may be a current thing, because when we were there, we were pleasantly surprised. I had been in the swim up for more than 5 minutes, and somebody came up to take my drink order. So
okay, good to know. All right, because that was one thing that put me off about the resort overall. But if that's not normal, then I would rethink it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, at this point.
So you may or may not get service at the swim up. And did you find that all the pre-arrival arrangements that you made held? Like they had your pillows correct? They had your minibar correct? Did you?
No. Okay. So they didn't, the minibar that I got was stocked full of beer, and neither my wife and I drink beer. So I had requested things like more different kinds of sodas and stuff like that. And I don't think they did any of that. There's also supposed to be an in-room mixology where you can pick one of four different drinks, and they're supposed to deliver this and with instructions on how to make your own drink. I didn't realize tonight when I was going through the website, looking at all the stuff for the show notes. And I looked at my wife and I said, remember that drink we picked out? We never got that. And she said, oh yeah, you're right. So now somewhere along the line that got missed too.
Okay, good.
I think we all would have noticed that quicker.
Yes.
Yeah, you probably would have.
You were the one Outlandrian who would not have noticed it. Sandy and I would have been like, where's my drink?
Yeah, where's my drink? Where's my gin and tonic?
And the only other thing I pre-requested was, I watched a ton of YouTube videos. My family and I are pasty white from Connecticut. We don't do sun real well. So I specifically were looking for buildings that got some morning sun. And then as the sun started to hit 1 or 2 o'clock, they would go behind the building. And there were three buildings that were perfect: Building 1, Building 5, and Building 6. I requested all three of those buildings. I got Building 3, which is the one that had full sun by 9 a.m. and it never went down. It was sunny all day long. So we made the best of it, but I understand room requests are completely best effort by the resort. There's no guarantee, but I just figured with a reduced occupancy, they're not as busy. I gave them 3 out of 7 buildings, and either they said they were gonna and they didn't, and it never got communicated to the room people, or or they were just that much full. I don't know.
How'd you do the request?
All through the pre-arrival email address. And they were really responsive. I'd send them the email, and within 24 hours, I get a response. Hey, yep, we made a note on your reservation of this or that, or we're going to tweak your mini bar. And it seemed pretty straightforward. But
it makes you wonder if they had to change your room last minute because somebody else complained before you got there and got moved or something.
I don't know. We got there really late. The luggage pickup at Cancun this time was awful. So we were probably an hour and a half getting to the resort later than I thought we would be. So we actually had to push our dinner reservation that night because we got there 5 minutes before we were supposed to eat.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, it could be that somebody else got moved into your room and then they didn't have time to reset you. So Unico is kind of big on service. So I'm surprised, although bad things, things happen. Yeah, for sure. That brought up another question. Now I can't remember what it was. Okay, well, talk about your transfers because you did something a little bit different that we haven't done before. As travel agents, we haven't used this service. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Did. So usually what I do is I almost always book hotel only because I'm a Southwest guy. So I just book my own flights and I deal book hotel or resort only. And in the past, I've usually used the I usually use the resorts or I book everything through Vacation Express. So I was using, I think it's Nexus is part of is their transfer company. So I usually use them. But I know that Project Expedition, which is a company that we use for lots of excursions, started offering transfers, I don't know, a year or two ago, and I've never used them. They priced really well. So I figured what the heck, I'd give them a shot. So I booked both my transfers through them and it was really smooth. I walked out, there was a gentleman standing there with my name and a sign, went over and showed him my voucher. He called the shuttle driver. So we waited maybe 10 minutes for the shuttle to get to the airport. And after being an hour and a half late, I was happy that they still had one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because then
So,
it's not a short drive to Unico from there.
no, it's anywhere between 75 to 90 minutes, depending on traffic. In fact, they bumped my, departure coming back an extra hour early because of the traffic and the road construction with the sinkhole.
Yeah.
So we didn't hit any traffic. So I was at the airport 4 hours before my flight,
Oh.
but yeah, better to be there.
That's
The
on
Southwest
time.
counter wasn't even open yet.
Fanny would have been delighted.
Yep. So we
You can
waited a
get.
half hour in line just waiting for the reservation aids and show up for Southwest. But
Yeah, but you didn't have to wait on people who didn't have their like test ready and
nope.
stuff, you know?
I had all my paperwork. Yep. Because we had all the tests done at the resort. It was great.
So let's just jump to that since it just came up. Was testing included? Did you have to pay extra? Was it easy?
Nope.
Was it difficult?
Testing was included for two people in each room. So if you had four, you had to pay for two. I think they were around $35 for the rapid test if you had more than the two people in your room. So ours were all included. At the time of check-in, they gave us a piece of paper that said, here's where you need to go. Here's where what time it is and what day it is. We walked down there. The only thing I didn't read was I needed my passports. So I had to run back to the room to get the passports, bring those down. Quick nasal test results were done in 10 minutes. They emailed me and printed everything out
Nice.
in
You
and
didn't have to
out. It
go
was
ask them to print it out. They just automatically did it.
before
Very
we
nice.
left the room. Yeah. They handed
Very
us the
nice.
results on paper and an email. Yeah. Super smooth. Can't complain about Unico's response to that at all. That was
And
fantastic.
about how much time did that take out of your day?
Well, if I don't count me having to go back to get my passports, maybe a half hour at the most. So, I mean, it was 11 a.m. So we decided to go to breakfast a little bit later. So we did breakfast and then just walked over to the testing area.
Nice.
Did you have a
Yep.
scheduled time for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. They made everybody appointments so you knew exactly what time, so you didn't have to wait in line or anything. Yep.
So tell me about the check-in process because I remember really enjoying it, and I'm very curious if it's different due to COVID or if it's exactly the same. So talk about that.
So it's the first time I've ever met so many different people during check-in. It was kind of odd. So you walked in and somebody greeted you and she took you over to, it's really just in the lobby. There's no separate check-in room. There's no real check-in, big check-in desk like some of the resorts have. You sat down on the couches. She came back and brought you the drink of the resort, which is the cucumber tonic-y thing that was pretty refreshing. Took our passports, went up to the desk, and they went and did all the behind the scenes stuff with printing all your paperwork out. I will say there was a lot of paperwork to sign, and I think most of it was due to COVID. There were all kinds of initial here and initial here, and we're not responsible for this. And here's the information on the testing, sign here. And so there was a lot of that, but it is what it is. So we met the person at the desk, and then he gave us all the paperwork. And then, because our local host that they assigned us wasn't there that day, they had like a concierge that runs the local host. She came over and talked to us and said, Here, I'll introduce you tomorrow when your local host comes in. For tonight, here's my WhatsApp information. If you need anything, shoot me a message. I'll take care of it. So that was really great because if you don't have your local host and you get to your room and something's not right, who do you contact?
Maybe that's why. Well, your room wasn't the building you wanted to be in because your person wasn't there.
Well, I don't know that they select your room, but maybe they would have been the one to change out the mini bar. I don't know. So, but it was no big deal, honestly.
Did they let you choose your aromatherapy at that point? Did they let you smell all the little scents?
No, it was on a menu and told you what each one of the scents were. So
it sounds like they do that thing. Yeah, they don't want probably. You breathing on the yeah. Yep. That's a bummer because that was really nice actually be able to smell it and see if it would irritate you. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we had a bergamot. It was like a bergamot lemongrass type one that was pretty sweet smelling. Yeah, nice. It was nice.
I know George likes that bergamot because the spa that, Sandals. So spa, I think we challenged you to try the spa, George.
We did, and I didn't.
I feel you did not rise. We all could have been
and you never try the spa. We gotta get over this. We gotta like have some sort of challenge to go out.
So our thought was, and we were gonna do the hydrotherapy pools, but then I found out that the hydrotherapy pools for men are not the same as for women. So I'd be alone in mine, and my wife and two girls would be in the other one. And then I said, "Well, you guys can go, but I'm not gonna go sit in a tub by myself. It's a little weird."
So, you wouldn't be by yourself. There'd be other men there.
you think maybe. And I did book back when they did the inclusion package where you only paid 25% of what the real charge is. And those are what they're charging now. So your massages can run $400 to $600. So the inclusion thing at the time was a really good deal.
So not only did you let us down, but you actually missed out on spending less money. Wow, yeah. George. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm just going to say, I believe you're going to be on the Symphony of the Seas soon, and there is a spa on the Symphony of the Seas. Put it
out there. There is.
Don't gotta make up for lost time. All right. So what I really want to get to is food and drink, because this is Fly Away, and that's what we talk about. And you are a picky eater. And I was watching.
Yeah, I can be.
You are.
Okay.
But you are willing to try different things. I will say that. And sushi. I was watching. Oh, you tried sushi?
Oh, God, it was awful. The problem with the sushi is, well, the sushi comes, it's either one roll had salmon, which I don't like, and the other one had, now I'm going to draw a blank, zucchini. And I can't stand either one of those. So I did the zucchini one because I can stand that a little bit more than salmon. So it just wasn't my thing. But I tried it.
You did try it. That is good. And I was watching your pictures on Facebook going, look at him trying all the foods. Look at that. Because you tried a lot.
Well, so technically my whole family all took pictures of their dishes.
Okay.
So it wasn't all the food that I ate, but I did eat quite a bit of it. And yeah, I figured what the heck, you might as well try it. You never know.
It's all inclusive. If it wasn't for you, I would eat
escargot. That's right.
That's right. So, okay. So we'll talk about sort of all the places because there aren't that many restaurants at Unico. There's just a few. So which one was your least favorite? Let's start at the bottom, which is the one that you would be fine never going there again.
If I never went there again, it would probably be the 2087 Grill, the steakhouse.
Okay.
They really only had two steaks on the menu. They had a New York strip and a ribeye, and they were okay. Nothing unique or special. So yeah, we did go there twice because when I made the reservations ahead of time, I figured steak is safe. So, and I did, was it there that I had the chicken? I did have the second night I went and they had a marinated chicken. That was fantastic.
Good. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, usually. So basically, steakhouse, not any better than any steakhouse that you can find at home. And not necessarily worth the trouble. Okay. Nope. And what was your favorite?
The favoritest, that was kind of a toss up between, they all were good. The teppanyaki had a couple of different things that I've never had at one before, like a Japanese pancake.
Oh, that
was really yummy. So that was really good. And the traditional Mexican, I was really surprised because I pictured enchiladas, burritos, tacos. No. tacos. That was the only thing on the menu I recognized.
But probably so, not your typical tacos, not your tacos.
Oh, they had tacos. Duck. The duck tacos were fantastic. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and so that's Cueva Siete. And is, yes. And that one changes, the chef changes every few months or so and creates a new menu. So what you had is probably very different from what I had a few years ago.
I know that the duck tacos have been there for a while, so I think they do keep a few things. Okay. But yeah, I've heard that. And we just missed their, they had a special summer series where they were bringing celebrity chefs in from Mexico City. And I think they were rotating them every couple weeks. Ooh. And that ended just a week or two before we got there. Superbia, I think, is what they called the program. So,
did you have anything special at Cueva Siete? And I'm asking mostly because when we were there, we had tableside guacamole, and we also had a tableside Mayan coffee. I think that was really amazing. So,
I didn't see any tableside guacamole. They'd still do the Mayan coffee. The problem was at 9 o'clock, the last thing I wanted was a full caffeine coffee and be up all night.
Little though. And they set it on fire, George. All right, they set it on fire.
So we watched them do it at the table next to ours, but we didn't get it. And it was pretty cool.
Excellent. Do you remember? So you had the duck tacos. Was there anything else there that you tried? Did you nibble off of anybody else's plate?
We did. We tried to get a few different things and then we all shared it. Hold on. I'll edit this out, but let me go look up the, I don't know if they have the menus online or not.
They may not, since it rotates.
Yeah. And everything was done. Most of the menus were all done through the app. There was nothing in paper.
Oh, I hate that.
I'm
kind of impressed that at check-in you had so much paper, because when I know when I checked in at Margaritaville, which is the last resort I went to in Mexico, everything was QR code. They're like, okay, scan this code. And then they put that down behind the counter and then they pull another one out. Scan this one. And you have to fill that out and then scan this one. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm glad that my phone still has battery in it. I just flew, you know?
They do have them all online. All right, let me pull them up.
Yeah, my phone glitches whenever I try to do those QR codes at restaurants. It'll pull up like the last website I visited rather than
you have some cheap ass phone.
I'm not a cheap phone. I have a really good phone. But and I'm not changing it. It's almost paid for. So I'm keeping it for another couple of years if I can. But
okay. So let's see. Okay. So yeah, at Cueva Siete for appetizers, we definitely did not do the octopus toast.
I love octopus.
Sure yes. I do.
So good.
Actually, we split two things. We split the fried duck tacos, and then there was a, I'm going to butcher this name, sorry. It's a melted Oaxaca cheese with smoked sausage.
Oaxaca.
All right. So I wasn't totally butchering it.
I mean, and how can you go wrong? It's sausage and melted cheese. There's really nothing. There's nothing about that that could be bad.
Yep. So. Yeah. My daughter got the tuna, which was like a kind of, that was basically raw, let's be honest, lightly seared on the outside. And she said that was fantastic. So
just took her word for that, huh?
Yeah, yep, sometimes I sure did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And did you have dessert there?
We did have the dessert. What did we have? So one of us had, and I can't remember if it was me, had the local cheesecake with fig and tomato compote, which the fig I can get, the tomato part kind of threw me off in the menu. My daughter had that and really liked it. My wife had the homemade fritters with mezcal ice cream. We had chocolate truffle with honey and banana mole. And I thought all their desserts were good. There weren't any that completely wowed me, though. And I find that, I guess at most all-inclusive, desserts are all pretty decent, but they're not cruise line desserts.
Well, and as much as Mexico is known for cuisine now, especially Mexico City, desserts still, they're not producing pastry chefs, really. They're producing, you know, cooks and chefs. They're you know, people who make the main courses, so... All right. And so you mentioned octopus was on that menu. Now, when Chris and I were there, we had octopus at Mi Carissa. So tell me, because Italian should be a pretty safe bet for you.
We did Italian twice because usually the Italian restaurants at the all-inclusives are my favorite. I did have the same calamari appetizer both times. Why screw with perfection? It was fresh and seasoned right and salted just enough. And
the, so you will eat squid, but you will not eat octopus.
Well, because squid looks like an onion ring and an octopus is all tentacly with suckers. So, yeah.
It's calamari with tentacles.
So does calamari not this. It was if nothing it's prepared but, up in yeah, New England.
I don't eat those. Yeah, no, these are just rings.
Killing me. All right. And what else did you have at the Italian place?
I didn't have it, but my family had the, basically it was an egg battered melted provolone cheese and tomato sauce. So it was like a homemade cheese stick.
Yeah.
And instead of being sticks, it was a great big round like a puck. And you cut it open and it just oozed out all over the place. But it was interesting that it was provolone and it wasn't. Yeah.
Mozzarella.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Which so is good because I love provolone.
I was going to say, did you have some of it?
I actually didn't. I woofed down my calamari and stuck with that. Yeah.
So calamari is greater than cheese for you. That's good to know.
Noted. Yeah. Yeah. All
right. And your main course?
Main course I had. And this restaurant was odd because it had salads, it had pastas, it had risottos, and then it had secondies, which I assume are your main. So I'm not like, how many of these should I order? Because I don't want to get to the main course and be full every night. So the first night I had the, where is it?
It's secondi, by the way.
Yes.
Secondi. Okay.
Secondies, like, is that like second breakfast?
Kind of. You know,
like, it's your meat course. It's your meat
course. It's your meat course. Yeah.
It's my meat course, and wow.
I would have said secondies too.
Not to give you the
different things.
I guess we need to make a trip to Italy and teach these people how to order.
Oh, okay. So I had the lasagna bolognese.
Oh, okay. Good safe bet. Were you satisfied?
I was. It was a small portion. So now I know why they have so many different tiers, because the lasagna there was probably a quarter of the size. It was maybe a 3-inch by 3-inch.
In Italy, the pasta course is a small course. It's not like here at Olive Garden where it's like a never ending pasta bowl. It's like, it's a small, touch of carbs. So.
And we had the spaghetti carbonara one night too. And my daughter had the creamy fettuccine. Oh, no, she didn't have that one. I couldn't get her over the squid ink. She saw that and just went, no.
Yeah, that's a traditional Sicilian dish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said it doesn't taste. It just makes it a little bit darker, but no.
It makes it black.
You think I'm picky? We haven't seen anything yet. I had the Parmesan risotto. That was really good, too.
Oh, yum. Yum. Okay, so Italian, I mean, when I was there, they told me it was the best restaurant at the place. Grizz and I did not agree with that. We thought the Mexican was. But let's talk about the Asian, because I did not get to eat at the Asian place. And obviously you did, A, because you had more nights there, and B, because you just said you tried the sushi. So tell us about that.
We did. So they started, so we did the teppanyaki table, which I reserved ahead of time. There were 8 seats, and they only had 6 of us there. So it wasn't full, so that was good. They started off with your usual show, you know, you've done a teppanyaki table, the spinning the spatulas and flipping the eggs up and down and all the other things they do.
Cutting fire to things.
Yep. So the first thing they brought out was the sushi. Okay. My oldest, she's a sushi fanatic. So she ate all of hers and all of my younger daughter's sushi. Decided it probably wouldn't be good to eat mine too. So she stopped there. And then they did. So my wife has a shrimp allergy and shrimp was one of the things they were cooking. So they did cook her a separate meal in the kitchen. without the shrimp and brought it out. So to make sure there was no cross contamination with the shrimp on the grill. The only drawback was they brought it out while we were still working through the rice dish. So hers sat on the plate for probably 15 minutes before we got served that course. So it wasn't as hot as it should have been. I appreciate the effort because we definitely don't want her having a shrimp allergy attack while down in Mexico. So
I think they just needed to go ahead and eat.
We did, but she didn't want to eat with everybody else. Yeah. So they did your traditional fried rice. The main proteins were actually a little bit different. So they did shrimp, they did scallops, they did chicken, and they did beef.
Okay.
Never had anybody do scallops. It's usually chicken, beef, and shrimp.
I find like it's every other. Do you guys find that to be true? Like every other hibachi restaurant I go to has scallops.
Yeah, I see it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe every other one. You're right, though. It's not at every one, but.
Nope. So they did that. And actually, the other thing they did was what they call the Japanese pancake. And it almost like was pancake batter. But it had some vegetables in it, and it had a soy teriyaki sauce and some other kind of, I don't know what it was, like a white creamy sauce, and they toasted sesame seeds on the top, and it was really good. I've never seen it before. I don't know what it was, but yeah, that was really
yum yum sauce. Was it not the typical like yum yum sauce that they have at teriyaki restaurants?
I don't know that I've ever had it, so I don't know.
How could you not have had yum yum sauce, George?
There are not many teppanyaki places in New England. I can only think of one in the two states near me.
I've had teppanyaki in Alaska.
Yeah. We're a little weird up here.
All right. So apparently it's not the North Carolina girls that live in the middle of nowhere. It is George in Connecticut.
kind of strange up here. Yeah.
All right. So moving, I have grilled you about the food and I feel very satisfied. And do you want to say anything about drinks? Because I know you're not a huge drinker.
Say one more thing about food that I found a little bit odd. So there is no buffets on site at all right now. The morning buffet, which is the 2087, is not set up so that they can do their service of your food. When we went to Majestic, everything's set up where the center of each buffet station, somebody can walk in there. So as you walked around with your plate, they served you. 2087 is a little bit older, I guess, and doesn't have that style. So there was no buffet for breakfast. It was all a la carte off a menu. I didn't mind it, but it was really slow. I mean, you were spending an hour and a half for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
There were a lot of... I didn't order bacon. Did anybody order bacon? And did anybody get my sausage? Or I ordered eggs over medium twice and they came out with runny whites. So I don't know if over medium means something different down there or not, but lots of little weird things like that for breakfast, because I know it's not something that they've done in the past.
Yeah.
Did they have an option for room service?
They do. And one thing I would tell you about Unico, it's the app. Everything's on the app. There's almost nothing you can't do at that resort on the app. The problem with room service, it's like a 2-hour wait most times.
So could you have ordered it like the night before and scheduled a time for breakfast?
Yep. Okay. And if we were probably there just ourselves in our room, we probably would have done that. But since we were with our girls in another room and they weren't right next to us, they were one room separated. We just decided to go to the buffet or a scruffer restaurant every morning.
I don't know if this happened to you, but after we left for a few days, I kept getting notifications from that app. So it was like, come join us for margaritas by the pool. And I'm like, oh.
Nope, I didn't get that.
All right. Well, they might have fixed that then. Because that was really, it was actually a little heartbreaking. It's like, oh. Yep.
And I have heard horror stories about the timeshare people. I only did one thing initially as my travel agent account was to get my reservation numbers with them because I can't get them through the supplier. And after that, I used my personal account for everything. So I don't know that they knew I was an agent. I never got approached once, never called once, nothing. And I've heard that they can be pretty aggressive there. So
good test. You probably just didn't look like a sucker.
Yeah, maybe.
No offense to anyone who's been trapped.
By And for them, it's, I guess you wouldn't say it's a timeshare. It's more of a vacation club because you can use it at Unico or you can use them at any of the Hard Rocks. And I think they have one other new resort that they're opening. It's even different, another brand. And I assume it works there too.
I feel like I should know that.
Do you know how far they are from Hard Rock Cancun?
I think the Hard Rock's up in Playa, isn't it?
Playa del Carmen. I feel like it's about 20 minutes. Because actually, yeah, it's about 20 minutes or so. Because that's when I went, I transferred from Barcelo, which was near Hard Rock, down to, and it's about 20 minutes.
The Cancun Hard Rock or the Riviera Maya?
Hard Rock.
There's two, though. There's
Riviera Maya. Riviera Maya. Yeah, Cancun's way. Yeah, that's in the hotel zone. Yeah.
The reason I ask is because the Ava brothers are going back and they're having like rooms at Unico too. But so I figure they can't be that far apart, you know?
They're not, but you can't walk though. I mean, that would be, you can't even stumble really.
Well, I think they're doing,
I don't know what they're doing. So George, are there any drinks you want to talk about? I know that you mentioned a mixology masterclass. Did you do that? Or was there anything that you particularly wanted?
No, to I tried. There were a couple of things I tried to book ahead of time. I didn't book the mixology, but they do offer a chocolate making class because they actually have a chocolate store where they make fresh chocolates, and you couldn't do that ahead of time. You had to do it once you got on property. I've heard it's always booked up. So you didn't do that? I didn't even bother to try. No.
Oh man. I was hoping you brought me back some chocolate.
Mm-hmm. I did buy a couple of chocolates, you know, little buttons at $3 a piece.
So you're bringing me that next week?
I still have one somewhere. Oh. It's a Bailey's one, but it didn't really taste like Bailey's. It was good. Oh. It was nice and chocolatey, melt in your mouth. But
you didn't find it satisfying. I think I should try it.
Yeah.
All right. And I did see, because I do follow you on Facebook, I saw your comment about the pool. So let's talk about the pool a little bit.
So I never go anywhere without doing a lot of research. I usually join a couple of Facebook fan groups. So I think I know exactly what I'm getting into when I get to the resort. So I guess the fact that first I wasn't in any of the buildings I wanted to be in didn't help. Then I had to keep getting out of the pool and drying off and going through my room because there's no stairs out of the swim up every time I wanted to go get a drink. So that was a little bit of a process. And then, to be fair, there was a corporate event there that week. So maybe the loud booming techno music that, and the Unico shaped like a horseshoe. So anything that happens in the middle bounces off all the buildings, and it's not a very big resort. So it's boom. And you could hear it in your room. It was that loud with the door shut. So I was trying to play some music on my phone out by the pool, and you couldn't even hear it. You could hardly talk. I don't know how the people at the pool could stand it. And it went from like 10 to 6. It was all day, nonstop. Wow. So yeah, it wasn't every single day. It seemed like by the end, we figured out that it was an every other day thing. And looking at their website, they do say pool DJ. Mm-hmm. So okay, to be fair, I didn't catch that. But at the same time, I just didn't expect it to be that loud. Because if you were at the pool, I don't know how you could have even talked.
And so there's another, there's like a quiet pool off to the side. Yeah. Did you try to go there? Was it so?
No, that was all the way on the opposite side of the resort from us. And we'd go to breakfast at 8:30 and the chair hogs were out in force with hats and towels. And you weren't getting a chair if you weren't out by 6:30 in the morning. Wow. It was that bad over there.
It is a much smaller pool too. Well, and obviously, yes, if the DJ is playing at 800 decibels, it was highly desired.
Yeah. Yep.
So second lesson, take a large group so that you can control the music.
Did you know, you don't have to say the name, but do you know who the corporate event was for?
It was some tire company. I don't know what it was. And I still don't know it, that it was specifically them. We happened to be there one night. It was actually the Mexican Independence Day, like their July 4th. So I, our local host told us they were having a big Mexican buffet somewhere, but I already had dinner reservations and I didn't want to skip out. That was our last Mikarisa night and I wanted the Italian again. So we didn't go to that, but about 10 o'clock, they lit off fireworks for probably 15, 20 minutes. They had the tire company's logo was projected on the side of the building. They had, you know, like lights set up, and that must have been probably their last night, final dinner out on the plazas and stuff. So it, the loud music may have been from them. I can't say for sure, but
yeah,
I mean, for a, my daughter, she's 28. She said, this would be perfect for kids my age. You know, we're late 20s, early 30s. They still like to listen to loud music all day. And for them, it would have been perfect. But for me and my 50s now,
you're like, I want to sleep.
I just assumed it was, wasn't asleep. And I'm just thinking, you know, they talk about being a luxury five-star resort, great food, and I just thought it was going to be more of a Sandals Secrets type quiet kind of vibe and not breathless. And it, yeah, that just put me off. Would I recommend it to people? Yes, definitely. If you're okay with that, go, because the food and the service, and our local host was fantastic all week. One day, my wife, we always bring Yeti mugs, and we got back to the room and she said, I don't know what I did with my mug. I think I might've left it at breakfast. I messaged the local host and said, hey, my wife left this down at the 2087 for breakfast. Can you go see if they have it? Cause I figured him being able to talk Spanish would have been a lot easier than me walking in and trying to explain what I was looking for. And yeah, he found it, brought it over to our room.
Nice.
They also give you complimentary straw hats in the room. So on Saturdays and Wednesdays, they have local artists that come in and paint them. So you give them a tip, tell them what you want in the hat. They paint them all up. So I told them we had painted the hats yesterday and we weren't sure where to go get them. And he said, I'll take care of it. He went and got all the hats and brought them down and delivered them right to the room. So you need something different in your mini bar. Do you need any kind of toiletries? He took care of everything.
So did he fix the first your mini bar?
He did. Okay. Yep. I said, I need more of this, and lots of snacks. And he filled up the basket and had everything taken care of. No problems.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. Good to hear that.
And this was the first Mexican resort I've ever been to that had cream. Like real cream. Mm-hmm. Not, no, not milk. I don't want milk in my coffee. I want cream. And that, they had cream.
Yeah. If anybody remembers our discussion about Sandals and keto diet, that was a huge deal for my husband. And Sandals does not have real cream. They look at you like you're two heads. Yeah. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.